Welcome back to the Appetite for Construction podcast. I'm John Masonbrink. I'm here with Tim Ward. Tim, how you doing?
JP, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Well, let's get right into it. What do you think? Should we get neutralized?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we would like to welcome in Kyle Emmons. He's the president at JJM Alkaline Technologies, a leading designer and manufacturer of acidic condensate neutralizer products for the heating and plumbing industries. So, Kyle, welcome onto the show.
Tim, Don, thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
So how does a Texas boy make his way up to Northwestern University?
Boy, that's a story in and of itself. My undergrad, I actually went to TCU, which is another one that made the program, but they both shared purple. So I just looked for another school that had purple in it.
Oh, just simple, easy peasy like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, huh? Keep the wardrobe consistent, you know?
Yeah. But you did go to TCU. I am curious, though. How did you choose Northwestern as a postgraduate?
Sure. I started my career in finance, investing, and generally in energy businesses. So I'm from Texas, and that's where I started my career. Wanted to really pivot to get into smaller generalist investing in small private businesses, and wanted to go back to school to get a little bit more training, get exposure to a bigger network, and frankly, love Chicago. It's a great market for middle market industrial companies and just a great city in general. And so Northwestern is right there in your neck of the woods in Evanston, and yeah. The rest is history, as they say. But I loved my time at Northwestern at Kellogg School of Management. I was there for 2 years full time, and it was a phenomenal 2 years.
Well, we mentioned off air that the greening of the Chicago River. So you're familiar with all that, right?
From absolutely.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Curious, you purchased the company in 2020. What about the industry, or maybe what about the company made you want to jump in and invest in the industry and this company?
So to be clear, I'm the president of the business. And yes, I acquired it from George and his wife, Denise, the two founders and previous owners of JJM. I wanted to get my hands dirty. So I definitely enjoyed investing in industrial businesses and spent some time actually inside of a business and really wanted to find something that I'd get my arms around and run on a day-to-day basis and build. I love, generally speaking, filtration type companies, always have. There's a lot of attractive aspects to those types of businesses. And our business at JJM certainly fits that. As I got to know George and Denise and JJM a little bit better in the market that we're in, we had a great business, phenomenal customers that have been with us for a long time. We made great products that people loved and frankly relied on and built a great reputation in the market. And then as I looked kind of at a macro level, which we will talk about today, of what's going on with gas-fired appliances in the industry and where the technology was going, I really saw a huge opportunity in our market. And so that was kind of the final straw for me that decided that this was the right business for me to acquire and then step into and run. And it's been a phenomenal last 4+ years. I bought the business in late 2019, right before a global pandemic and recession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which everybody says it's a great time to go buy a business. But it was not without its challenges, but a great, great time. Like I said, the last 4 years. And frankly, I'm more excited about the next, 40 years we have in front of us. So,
you know, our listeners, some experienced contractors, plumbing and HVAC guys, some new guys, some apprentices. This may be a dumb question or maybe, a question that just people know, but why? What is the importance of a condensate neutralizer?
So our products, the best way to think of them is like a filtration type device that's connected up to certain gas fired heating appliances, specifically condensing. So we're talking 90+% efficiency, gas fired appliances, furnaces, boilers, and hot water heaters. I know you guys had the guys on from Renai a couple episodes ago talking about the tankless market at the HR show. Mm-hmm. All of those boilers, furnaces, and hot water heaters, if they're gas fired or propane, 90+%, that's our market. That's what we're talking about. Those installations, that condensing technology, which I won't geek out too much on, but effectively the way that those appliances derive that extra efficiency is by installing a secondary heat exchanger. And instead of venting the exhaust gases as a traditional furnace, boiler, hot water heater might do, they actually recapture that exhaust gas and extract additional heat and energy from it. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, we all know when a gas is burned and then starts to cool, it hits the dew point and will turn into a liquid and condense. So that is what happens actually inside of those appliances. It is supposed to happen. It's a normal part of the combustion process. Again, it's how it's it derives its efficiency, but it's then discharged outside of the jacket of the appliance. And that's where we start. And so our devices, most of them have a pretty small footprint, both on the residential and commercial side, but they connect up to the condensate trap of that appliance. And then, like I said, it's a filter, right? And so there's a media and a housing, and our devices interact with that condensate to raise the pH level or reduce the acidity of the condensate before it's discharged into the plumbing system.
What is the media? I saw pictures of it. I have no idea what I'm looking at, but what is the media?
The idea or the concept of neutralizing acidic liquid is it's old as time, right? Limestone mm-hmm. is in the earth, and it's the natural way of doing it. So our media that we use is magnesium hydroxide. We call it pH power pellets. So we actually have a separate manufacturing line in-house that we produce those pellets, and they can only be found and used in our products. So that's kind of the special sauce. Again, it's similar to the filter media and an air filter, right? That's effectively what filters out the bad stuff to clean it up. There's a lot of different media you could use. Way back in the day, again, even on industrial applications, people use, they'll call it a box full of rocks. You might throw some limestone or marble chips in a holding tank, right, and run a liquid through it. Well, the problem with trying to do that, and that's kind of where our business actually started back in 2005, is if you try to do that with the acidity and the volume that you get from these condensing appliances, you're getting several gallons per hour when you're running these on a residential unit. It's going to take up a lot of space. You don't have that room. Yeah, you don't have that room in a basement or in a boiler room that's crowded, or an attic, God forbid. And so you need something that's actually purpose-built for these types of installations to handle the volume of condensate and the acidity that you're going to get out of these appliances. And like I said, that's where our solutions, and that's where our business was started.
I try to remember chemistry class from high school, 40 years ago. For these systems, what's a good pH level and a bad pH level?
Yeah, great question. So the pH scale, if you all remember, maybe high school chemistry, is 0 to 14. 7 is kind of what you're looking for neutral, or what water would be. 0 is going to be very acidic, and 14 is going to be basic. I preface this with every single burn is different, right? So installation, the ambient air, the gas that's burned, it's all going to be a little bit different. But generally speaking, you're going to find a pH of a 2.9 to a 4 that's coming out of these condensing gas-fired appliances. That may not sound like a big delta from, say, 3 to a 7, but every 1.0 on that scale it's logarithmic. So every 1 is actually 10x the acidity. So when you're going from 3 to a 4, that's 10x. When you're going from 3 to a 5, that's 100x. The regulations, there's actually regulations around this. EPA has a regulation that nothing below a 5 pH can be discharged into the public works, so the sewer system. International Plumbing Code has a similar one, even more stringent, that requires you use a neutralizing device before you discharge anything that's corrosive in public waste. But the point being, the minimum is to get things to a 5 pH. And so again, if you just take the condensate out of a condensing gas-fired furnace and discharge it into the plumbing system in the house, once it hits the public works, it's going to corrode anything that's not plastic.
I'm just curious if, an inspector is going to look at a mechanical room and sees a condensate neutralizer. Are they doing tests on that particular pH level coming out of that system?
Yeah, great question. So what we recommend, and we've got some kind of best practices on this, we recommend, whether it be an inspector who's coming out on the spot, whether it be a boiler, startup, that's oftentimes somebody, the first time they learn about condensate neutralizers is they get a red tag on a startup because they didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. So that's good if an inspector does know. But oftentimes it's simple as taking a sample out of the outlet of the neutralizer. It can be done relatively quickly. You can use, again, going back to high school chemistry class, you can use litmus paper.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, some people use that. Problem with that is that can get, wet or dirty in the field, right? And so we normally recommend a technician make a little bit of investment and get a pocket pH tester they can keep in their toolkit. You literally just take a very clean sample out of the outlet, use that pocket pH tester and it's going to give you a reading. And again, as long as it's above a 5, that's kind of what our minimum threshold is as far as performance goes. There are local codes that are even more stringent. Some are 5.5, 6, maybe even a 6.5 pH if they have a very sensitive sewer system in that particular city or municipality. But that's basically the process. And as long as you're above that number, you're good to go. The boiler and the condensate neutralizer can continue to operate as they have. If not, it needs to be serviced immediately.
Hey, Tim, real quick, here's a fun fact. When I was in chemistry high school chemistry class, I took an honors class. I was failing the class. I had an exam coming up. So I was told, and this is like a wives tale, but I put the book under my pillow so I would, you know, the osmosis would go right into my head, all the pages. Guess what, Tim?
Didn't work.
Did not work. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the subject matter. Tim.
You talked about AHR earlier. I'm curious because John and I walking around talking to different exhibitors, obviously working within our media company. How does the energy efficiency movement for the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, somewhat government driven, albeit for gas fired appliances, how does that benefit JJM and or even Drive Technology?
You mean heat pumps are supposed to take over the world tomorrow?
Yeah.
Right. So to take a little bit of a step back, I mean, the way we were founded was George Carney, our founder, was a boiler salesman selling for Meztech way back in the day. And when these condensing boilers on the commercial side started getting introduced, George started getting questions from technicians in the field of, that's great, we're saving energy, you know, we're reducing our environmental footprint, but what do we do with all this condensate? And I think it's important that people understand how long JJM has been in business. And this is our focus. We've been doing this since 2005. And we started in the heating and hydronic space. That's kind of what our heritage is. And I think the same catalyst for George to come up with this original idea and to create our initial solutions in his garage and back in 2005 still stands today, but just far more pronounced. And what is that? That is the fact that condensing gas technology is here to stay. I think where we are so excited is we think there's an opportunity for a lot of different ways to provide energy and heat in people's homes and in buildings. We're kind of, I think my personal take would be, as long as the consumer wants it and it makes sense, great. But what we see in the market is, even if the gas world as we have it today, the installed base, which is, you know, depending on which numbers you're looking at, furnaces, hot water heaters, boilers, you're looking at, you know, a couple million, 10, 12 million a year, right? We think that the amount of gas-fired appliances, even if it stays flat, is all going to become condensing technology, right? And it's huge energy savings for the market, huge energy savings for the consumer. The only thing we want to remind people of is that's going to produce a ton more acidic condensate that needs to be treated before it's put into the plumbing system. And so, again, I know everybody wants to talk about heat pumps. You guys have had some great guests on that I've heard. I know Baker Plumbing. I would basically just reiterate everything that was said on that episode. Even hearing from the OEMs, the folks who are making these appliances. Like I said, I listened to the podcast recently with Renai at the HR show, and the idea that tankless, right, is going to take over the world as it relates to gas. That's a huge driver for us. And then furnaces. The regulation, the final rule got passed just late last year. And within 5 years, if it stays, there will certainly be some pushback. But if that rule goes into effect in 2029, every gas-fired furnace in the United States is going to be 95% efficiency. And soon that same rule is going to happen with residential water heaters. Gas-fired water heaters are going to have to be condensing as well. And so we see just a tremendous opportunity, again, in our market to educate people today. You mentioned apprentices, folks coming into the trades today, but also folks who have been, you know, doing this for a long, long time and maybe are just now coming around to installing a tankless condensing water heater and have dealt with condensate and air conditioning units or refrigeration and think it's all the same. We want to try to educate them and get in front of them of, hey, this is just something you didn't know about, an additional piece that you need to put into that installation.
You had mentioned the pH power pellets earlier, and I was just wondering, for the maintenance of these systems, is that something that needs to be replaced at some point? Does it need to be added? Do they dissolve? I mean,
yep.
Tell me about the maintenance of these condensate neutralizers.
Great question. So as I mentioned at the onset, these are, think of them as a filter. It's a housing with a media. So like any filter, it has to be maintained and that media needs to be replaced. The beauty of our media is, again, pH power pellets. If you've seen them, they literally are pellets. They won't waste away. So that's important. They don't turn to silt and just kind of flow out of the neutralizer.
Because I'm thinking like, you know, when you have your water softener, the pellets you put in there, they eventually just dissolve. And
yep,
that's not the case with these.
Different with our media, correct. Yep. And so they will actually stay, right? They will start to change color as they're interacting with that condensate. But as I mentioned earlier about the kind of the way to do the maintenance is to test the condensate's pH. We say at least every 12 months that the media needs to be replaced. And okay. We make it really easy for the service technician. Once they figured out how to do that service, we package and weigh each individual refill kit for our neutralizers at our factory so that they take all the guesswork out of how much media do I put in here? Do I have to weigh it? Do I have to take it out and swap some in? It's very, very simple and easy. But we like to try to remind folks of the need to service these things because it's great if somebody decided to install a condensate neutralizer up front. But if you don't maintain it over time, it's going to basically be equivalent to not having a neutralizer at all because it won't be effective anymore. So it's critically important. What we've really tried to emphasize with folks is build it into the PM. I know all the contractors out there nowadays are trying to find ways to have recurring revenue. It's a huge recurring revenue opportunity that if you're doing annual contracts, maintenance contracts with your boiler, furnace, or hot water heater, build in the condensate neutralizer maintenance. You're already there shutting down the gas-fired appliance to do that maintenance. This takes literally a matter of minutes, and it's a great, again, you're going to protect the plumbing system, but it's a great add-on sale and recurring service opportunity for the service techs out there in the market too.
Now, I know John said he had a kind of a crazier as he said stupid question. I think I have the stupid question today. and I go back to I think of this and I think, can you stack condensate neutralizers much like you can stack boilers to adjust size so it's appropriate to the volume that you need?
So JJM today, we actually have the broadest portfolio of solutions out there. We've got 20 different models. So again, all the way across a residential small wall hung unit, all the way up to a large scale 12 million BTU boiler in a high rise. We've got everything in between. And the way to size, I think I'll start there. The way to size a neutralizer ultimately is gallons per hour is the right way to think about it. So how much condensate is going to be produced by this condensing appliance? And that's ultimately the physical flow that can go through the neutralizing device and then the amount of time to interact with the media to before it exits so it's neutralized. That's very hard to come up with, especially if you're trying to do this on the fly or in the field. So we rate all of our neutralizers to correspond to the heating input of the appliance. So a 300,000 BTU appliance, we've got a K300 that's good for up to 300,000 BTUs. So that's really the easy reference guide, if you will, how to size it. So normally they're sized paired 1-to-1. If you've got a furnace, you've got one neutralizer. In your case, especially in commercial settings, a lot of people are doing rack systems with tankless water heaters now. We see a lot of that. Also with boilers, you may not have the room to install a neutralizer on each one. You can certainly stack them together. There are some nuances to doing that as far as how you pipe them and vent them. But generally speaking, you would just add up. Right. So if it's 4 1 million BTU boilers, you would use a neutralizer that's capable of at least 4 million BTUs, if that makes sense.
If you haven't heard, Navien's new NPF hydro furnace is on the market, and they're offering an unbelievable incentive to try it. This new furnace from Navien is 97% AFUE ultra low NOx and has an industry-leading variable capacity ranging from 15 to 100%. Right now, contractors can get a $1,000 gift card when they go to NavienFurnace.com and submit their first NPF purchase info. Again, that's a $1,000 gift card. NPF purchases must be made between January 22nd and April 15th, 2024. And submitted through the form at NavienFurnace.com by April 20th, 2024. See full promotion details at NavienFurnace.com. Don't miss out on this great promotion. So, you know, a lot of what we cover is plumbing and the mechanical systems, usually behind the wall. The homeowner doesn't even really think about it most times, right? Unless something happens or the furnace goes out or the water heater breaks down or the toilet doesn't, you know, then they call the professional. But, you know, you have a pretty interesting thing on your website, jjmalkalinetech.com. There's four reasons why omitting condensate neutralizers is not an option. And the first thing it says is to avoid expensive damage from not having one, and how, you know, the condensate can be, you know, the acidic condensate can eat through, basically, I'm quote unquote, eat through like concrete building foundations or pipes and things like that. How long would it take for something like that to have, with the homeowner not even realizing it? Is it a couple years? Is it the, you know, the age of the home? How long, do you know how long that would take?
Great question. Generally speaking, it's not going to be the next day, right? And the caveat being is how often is the appliance running? What's the acidity? What's the volume? All those great things. But generally speaking, you know, you could see on a home, you could certainly see a callback in a year, right? Why am I getting this copperish color on the floor drain in my basement? And why is it eating the concrete? Why is it eating the floor drain? God forbid if I have cast iron pipes in an older home and I'm going to start seeing, you know, leaks underneath the house. We've seen it in brand new high rises that they're installed for maybe a year, and they've got the plumbing over an amenity floor, right? And they've been running the boiler room, especially in the winter, and it starts eating through the pipe and leaking into the amenity floor. It doesn't take long for that type of stuff to happen. So the caveat is, it's going to depend on what that installation looks like and the volume. But this is not, you know, this is not something that's going to take 10 years. You're never going to find out about it. It's normally going to happen in a matter of months, maybe in a year or two on the residential side that you're going to start to see issues. We've unfortunately even seen, you know, sometimes we get contractors reaching out directly to the company asking us, how do they troubleshoot this install, whether it was done by them or somebody else. We've seen people install copper piping on the outside of an appliance from the trap. And that's just, that's a massive no-no. You can imagine that copper piping will go in a matter of months and get eaten up by this acidic condensate. So it's effectively anything that's not, like I said, anything that's not PVC, even when you hit the main line underneath a home, right? And it's going to the sewer line. You can imagine a neighborhood with a lot of brand new tankless water heaters installed, their boilers running gallons and gallons and gallons per hour into those lines. It's going to take not too long before you're going to start to see issues.
I feel like we've been in Professor Kyle's class for the last 22 minutes. And to expand on that, does JJM offer training to their customers?
We do, yeah. So we go to market through wholesale distribution. So we partner with distributors around the country and throughout Canada to stock and to support our products. But we're huge fans on educating the contractor, educating the service technician. We do a lot of things out in the field with our, sometimes with the distributor partners, also with our sales force, with our rep partners, to actually get out there with the local contractors, show them how these products work. We also provide, more often than not, free samples to actually get installed in people's training rooms, right? So we've got some installed at some of the manufacturers. We've got some installed at distributors and even service technicians and contractors' field offices that are, you know, educating their teams on these new condensing appliances and actually seeing a JJM condensate neutralizer attached, how to connect them, how to service them, how to do the maintenance. So yes, we love providing training we really want to evangelize, right? We want people who are out there that are doing the best, doing best practices and understanding why these things are important. And we want them to go out and scream it from the rooftop. So we try to interact and educate them as much as we possibly can.
Yeah. So I brought up that last question because it reminded me of when I first moved to our town, Tim, about 15 years ago, we got all these solicitations for like water filtration and water quality. And I'm like, God, is there something wrong with the water in our town? And so I called the head of the water department, and he's like, I drink the water from the tap every day and nothing's happened to me. And so that was 15 years ago. Guess what?
Uh-oh. What's going on now?
He's dead. No, I don't know if he's dead or not, but it just kind of reminds me of, you know, what you may not see is not necessarily, you know, it's you got to be cognizant of what is happening. Like the stuff that went on in Flint, Michigan, it's not going to, like you said, it's not going to hurt you like the next day, but it can hurt your kids down the line. It can hurt your, you know, your quality of life down the line. And this is not, we're not talking about drinking out of a condensate neutralizer, but it's killing your pipes and your, you know, the health of your home or your, or your company. That was my point. So
Well, one of the other things that I wanted to touch on before we jumped off here was you recently partnered with Explore the Trades, which is a great organization. We actually had Kate on a couple of months ago on the podcast. For those that don't know, Kate Cinemo is the executive director of Explore the Trades. I'm curious, what's the value for JJM to become, to partner with an organization like that?
We're thrilled that partnership just got announced recently. We're thrilled to partner with them and to support their mission. I think it's twofold. One, in general, we just know and recognize as a participant in the trades that there is a massive shortfall that's coming. There's a generational gap in our industry for skilled, trained installers and technicians going into the trades. And we think it's incredibly meaningful work. It's valuable work. And I think our society, we're big believers in education. We at JJM, I think the problem our society has told a lot of people in previous generations is college is the only route. And I think we recognize that some of these technicians and installers out there in the market and the trades are incredibly skilled and know so much about their trade. And we need more and more of those folks going into and being exposed to the opportunities. They can have a great career. They can have a great life for themselves and their family. And I think we need to do a better job of educating folks and exposing families and kids to these opportunities sooner in their life than later. And I think to some extent, destigmatizing going into the trades. Again, we think it's incredibly worthwhile and valuable work. So that's at the forefront. The second reason is I would argue, you know, somewhat self-serving to some extent, in that we really want to, so we always encourage folks to have skilled trained technicians, the same folks who are working on or installing a condensing heating appliance. We want them working on or installing a JJM condensate neutralizer. Condensate neutralizers, as we've gone over today, are not, it's not rocket science, but you do need to make sure that these things are installed, sized, and serviced appropriately. But most importantly, they are connected to a gas-fired heating appliance. And so we want the same trained technician or installer working on those things. But we think there's a huge opportunity to, again, educate folks about the need for our products. And we want to support the mission that is out there, like I said, educating folks about the trades. And we want to educate them about the best practices in the vocational schools, in the middle schools, in the high schools that are starting to learn about these things. And as I mentioned, condensing technology is not going away. And so we want to, you know, dovetail with that conversation as kids are learning more about how do I install a gas-fired new tankless water heater. We want them to know there's going to be acidic condensate and there's a condensate neutralizer that you can install that will solve that problem. So it's twofold for us, but really big believers in the trades. Really, we were presenters at Hardy this year. We're a member of Hardy and we were a member of the booth program. And I believe it was the first year that that Explore the Trades had done so as well. And so we came across them at the Hardy show. They were on the booth program as well. And we're thrilled to kind of learn about their mission. And we quickly had a conversation soon thereafter and struck a partnership with them. So we're really excited about it.
So Kyle, as we wrap up, you know, you, before we jumped on, your dog was running around. What's your dog's name?
I got two. Ben, okay. I wish you could see him. Ben is taking a nap just outside the office right now. He's a golden doodle. And then I've got Murph, GSP, who's got more energy than any of us combined.
Okay. And where was Jerry Jones during the free agency signings?
Don't get me started on that one. I'll probably upset anybody who's a Dallas Cowboys fan, which they're everywhere. So I will probably keep my mouth shut on that one. But yes, I'll just say this. There's only one common denominator that's been with the Cowboys for the last, 30 some odd years. So if we're complaining about the results, I think there's one place to look.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like it.
The stake's been firmly planted in the ground there.
Yeah.
And so what do you like to do for fun in the Dallas area?
I try to play golf. I try to play golf. Yes. We get 11 and a half months out of the year that you can go put a ball on a tee here in Texas. So I try to do that as much as possible.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Well, your Northwestern Wildcats did make the NCAA tournament. Hopefully by the time this podcast airs in a week or two, they'll still be playing. My K-State Wildcats did not. John's Wisconsin Badgers made it, but since I live in the hometown of the University of Illinois, I'm rooting for them. Hopefully they'll make it to at least the second round. Any predictions for NCAA winner?
Oh, gosh. Houston. I got to go with Houston. I'm a big 12 guy to some extent, and Houston definitely is legit this year. I know that's probably a little bit of an easy take given how hot of a team they are, but I like Houston.
UNC, look out for UNC as well.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle. Well, thanks so much for jumping on and talking about the company and condensate neutralizers. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.